Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Doubly's Talk Tech. As always, Mike Hoffman.
I'm Daniel Bogdanoff, and we are here with Stephanie Rubikleva, who is, I'll let her introduce herself. Today, you know, and we're on a DDR kick still, so we wanted to talk about DDR RX testing today. So, Stephanie, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little about your background?
Yeah, so I do have a background in memory where I worked at a DRAM manufacturing company for 10 years. And been here for 10 years working with Agilent Keysight. And I am now R&D engineer, which actually I say now, but I've been an R&D engineer for my whole career. and developing our solutions for both transmitter and receiver. And now working specifically on DDR5 receiver test.
And this is a new thing for the industry, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So this is a fifth generation DDR and our very first receiver testing that we're going to be doing for DDR.
So historically for DDR, receiver test was never a thing that had to be done.
Correct. Because really, in the slower speeds, there was plenty of margin for error in that measurement. So you can't say it's never been done. Obviously, you have to test the device's capability to receive data.
Right. That makes sense, yes.
So they have done it in the past, but just not to the accuracy that we need to now. Now that we're in faster speeds, that accuracy, we don't have the margin for error in our measurements anymore.
Okay.
And so we want to make sure we measure our receiver's capabilities and do that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Was it that previous generations of DDR, the test wasn't standardized, and now it is? Is that the difference now?
And there's very much truth to that as well. There was no standardization of receiver test, and now we're seeing that show up in the specs. Yeah.
Cool.
So are techniques being borrowed from other like high-speed serial technologies, or where is that spec coming from?
Yeah, so PCI Express is a great example of receiver test. It has the longest history that I know of in receiver testing, and there's a lot to learn. And so we're definitely doing what we can to learn from PCI Express. However, DDR is very different, so we're also still having to learn new stuff. PCI, you know, any of our traditional receiver tests is a differential pair PRBS is perfect. I mean, I say perfect. They probably don't think it's perfect.
Sure.
Signal. But when you compare it to DDR, where you have a lot of different terminations and different, I was even showing my boss a couple waveforms. He's like, wow, is that different across the world? I go, no, that's that different on the same device.
Oh,
man. And it's, you know, it's really difficult. It's a very different, it's single-ended. So there's just other issues that we have to learn and how to handle that properly.
Some new territory for people here.
Yep.
What has been, so the spec isn't released yet.
Correct.
I think we talked about it with Jenny two episodes ago. Mm-hmm. How, I don't know how involved you are in this process. How is that, getting that defined, how is that process going?
It's going well. I used to be actually very well involved with the definitions in DDR4. But now my role's changed, but I still see what's happening and it's going well. The industry as a whole really seems to want to make these definitions because we need to be successful.
So it's a pretty friendly conversation. It's not necessarily large.
Exactly. Yeah.
Corporations jockeying for their way of doing things.
Right. Or? It's really, we're all collaborating, learning, you know, just like we were saying from PCI Express and then trying to move forward in these clear definitions.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does a receiver test look like? How does that happen?
So we have a BERT, which is going to generate, it's got a pattern generator that's going to generate our signals. And on those signals, we can apply different voltages, stresses of jitter and everything. And then the BERT also has an error detector, which is a loopback signal that then comes back. And we can, then the device is sending back really what it thought it saw for data.
Okay.
We also will have a scope because the scope we need to calibrate, and that's almost a really big part of the receiver test solution is the calibration. Because we need to, you know, it's one thing to set the BERT to 1 volt, for instance, but by the time it's actually at the measurement test point of the device, it can actually be 0.9. We've got loss in channels and cables and other things like that.
And normally 100 millivolts wouldn't be an issue, but that's 10% of your
Exactly. And again, earlier we were talking about how precise we need to be. If we were 100 millivolts off, that may actually make a part appear to fail, but it's not.
Oh, interesting.
Right, okay. Or appear to have more margin than it does. Yeah. So,
The BERT is injecting a signal into the what's the DOT? Is it just the DIM? I guess.
Yeah. So there's DIM tests. There's going to be device tests as well. So you in DDR we have a register, which is on register DIMs. And then we have the DRAM itself, and then there's buffers as well.
Okay. And so the BERT's sending a signal out, and then basically, are you checking basically the quality of the channel? Because it's just sending out the PBRS signal and then diffing it compared, you know, here's what I sent, here's what I received back, and looking for errors, or?
You know, while there's a channel, and there'll be a defined channel that we'll test over that should mimic motherboard servers and other things like that, we're testing the receiver itself. So either the DIMM's capabilities to receive that data under certain conditions or the devices. So what gets looped back is the device, and DIMs are going to have some logic in it that will loop back the signal saying, I saw 01011002. No, there's no two. This isn't PAM. Sorry. Anyway, that's how that's going to work.
Okay. Does the receiver look pretty similar for the different, you know, blocks that are going to be, because for memory, obviously, you have to both send and receive. So both mm-hmm. devices have a receiver, both devices have a transmitter. How does the receiver vary across different devices? Is it?
You know, they're very similar in concept because you have a signal called DQS, which is a data clock that clocks in the data, and then you have data.
Okay.
So all of them have basically that concept, or there's also command address, which you have a clock, and then command address that gets clocked in on that.
Okay.
And so very similar
okay.
across the devices.
You mentioned calibrating the receiver. Can you dig into that a little bit more?
Yeah,
for
so
us?
We're calibrating the signal going to the receiver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're calibrating that at the device, so at the ball of the part, for instance, when we're doing device tests, that it is a certain level, certain stresses, certain jitter, everything that we believe, you know, that we know is going to the receiver to be okay. tested. That's what we're calibrating.
Okay. So you can basically inject whatever sort of, you said this earlier, jitter and, mm-hmm. you know, bit errors, that type of thing, whatever you want to do and
right.
see how your receiver handles it.
Yep.
Okay.
Are you developing these tests or are you, or is that part of the JEDEC? Are they developing the testing standards for receiver tests?
You know, they do develop a lot of the testing standards definitions for, so for instance, you know, if they want to do a certain voltage test, there is some level of definitions in JEDEC. But I do work with everyone in those type of definitions and what we can and can't do. And then
okay.
then develop, you know, to use the term develop, but then, you know, develop them into the application.
Keysight's version of that test.
Yes, yeah.
All built into our tools. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So is it just like specs, like you need to have this level of, you know, this bit error rate tolerance and this
You know, so there's two ways to look at it. One is compliance. So compliance is, you know, you must be able to, you know, amplitude is always the easiest thing to, you know, just discuss. There's a lot of components in whether a signal gets recognized or not. But if we say amplitude, so there can be a spec that says, well, you must be able to take a 70 millivolt amplitude. Okay, so that's compliance. So you can test and you can test down saying, okay, yes, this receiver can handle 70 millivolt and less. Mm-hmm. But then there's characterization as well. So let's characterize okay. how much margin we actually have. Let's characterize where my device actually starts failing.
Right.
And so that's just as important. You know, there's different people that would be interested in those different things. There's some people who want to, you know, check mark that says, okay, yes, I do meet this. And then there's a lot of people, especially in the new design and in these earlier stages, that are going to want to know where is their fail point. You know, you generally want to design with a little more margin, so you'd rather that fail point maybe be 50 millivolts, for instance, instead
sure.
of 70.
Okay, that makes sense. Interesting. What are people struggling with? Like, so you must have some. I know you're in R&D. You're not necessarily out like at other people's sites, but mm-hmm. that must trickle back to you. What's been challenging?
Definitely receiver test as a whole. I mean, it's just, like I said, it was new to DDR5. And mm-hmm. so what are these concepts? What is the calibrations? Where do we calibrate to? What fixturing do we need to properly test this? It's unfortunately it's been everything to do with receiver testing, right?
Makes sense.
You know, and learning those concepts and learning what stresses do we need to do to truly test the receiver. Every aspect has been challenging just because it's new.
And so I imagine most engineers working on this have kind of been memory people for their career, and now they're getting this new, you know, new project. Are you hearing much? So I know you're at a memory manufacturer for a while and probably saw some connections there. Are you hearing much from them about, are people, you know, anywhere panicking about this, or are, is it just kind of par for the course? Like another
Seems par for the course. They know that with the speed improvements and everything, they need to look at different stuff. I have been working with, you know, previous connections and learning well together.
Yeah.
As we, you know, applying some of the stuff they know and along with what I know and. Okay. Getting this moving forward.
Do you have any, if someone out there is listening or watching, working on this, anywhere that you'd recommend they go to learn? Or, you know, what should that process look like for someone trying to get into this?
Trying to get into receiver tests. Other than Keysight,
I mean, yeah, you know, buy a Keysight BERT and a Keysight scope. And,
yeah, there's Keysight BERT scope and your field for Zynine.
We'll include your email in the description of the video.
Yeah, people like, not me, but
directly to you. No,
I mean that's really, you know, that's really it. Is within your all the companies pretty much belong to JEDEC, and so they're going to learn from being involved in that way and the interactions that are there.
I was very disappointed to find the Wikipedia page for DDR5 was about two paragraphs.
Actually one. I'm impressed. But I'll have to go look that up.
We may have to. Maybe by the time this podcast airs, we'll, you know, put a bunch of pretty Keysight pictures on Wikipedia or something.
Just transcribe all these past episodes and make it the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, there you go.
Source it. Although Wikipedia links are nofollow links, so that doesn't really help you to link out, just for the record. Anyway, for all you search engine nerds out there. So, and I know TX isn't your side. Can you give us a little teaser about the transmitter side of things, or are you pretty set in the receiver side?
No, I do work a lot with transmitter. Most of my history has been in transmitter far as Agilent Keysight. And I still am involved in some of the measurement science when it comes to transmitter, just because of my history being in memory. So we're definitely progressing with DDR5. It's in transmitter, there's a little bit of learning, but in transmitter, we have the history all the way back to DDR1. Mm-hmm. There are speed improvements. There are changes in the way that we're going to measure the data. We understand it and what we need to do. And
transmitter testing is
old hat.
Definitely par for, yeah.
It is par for the course. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's.
Okay. What does that look like for DDR? So what are people looking for from their transmitters, and how do they go about making sure it's actually functioning the way they want it to? Same type of thing, but
yeah, same type of thing. So, you know, the specification for the DDR is at the ball of the part. The signal for transmitter must be a certain characteristic.
Okay.
You know, certain voltage, certain timing relationships, and everything. And so they can test their transmitter, you know, at the ball of the DRAM. Or register or buffer, right? And verify that their signals do meet those characteristics.
Okay. So we're about out of time for this episode. One of the things we like to do with our guests is we ask them a stupid question at the end of the podcast. So, Mike, do you have a stupid question for Stephanie?
Here's to Jenny. Was so good. I'm trying to think of another good DDR question. Let's ask you the same one. What's your favorite version of DDR and why?
Let's go with DDR5 because it's the fastest.
Ooh, nice. Okay. The Ferrari of DDRs.
Yes.
If you had to choose between a 0 or a 1, what would it be?
1.
1. Why 1?
Because it's like a full glass.
Okay. So, sure. Yeah, the bit is fully full.
It's fully full.
I guess there's no half empty.
The bit is on.
Yeah.
No metastability here.
Okay. So if you're testing using Stephanie's software and you get a bunch of extra ones, you know why,
you
right?
You know why.
Yeah, it's like, it's in the middle somewhere. It's called a 1. So that's all for today. Make sure to subscribe to Double E's Talk Tech on your favorite podcast engine. Please rate and review the show. That's how we get found. And subscribe if you're a YouTube person. Check out the Keysight podcast YouTube channel, the Keysight Labs YouTube channel. I think by this point we have a new blog site that's live.
Ooh,
so
really?
Pretty excited about that. There may or may not be a newsletter sign up that you should go check out, so you can get all of, you know, an update from me about all the stuff that our team is working on.
Yeah, so you do a couple YouTube videos, right? I think I've seen you on our channel before.
Yeah, it happens. You know.
Is that where I know you from?
Probably so, yeah. Okay. I've yet to be recognized on the street, which I'm really happy about.
I have.
Have you really?
Yeah, I was at a... they were actually looking for you, to be fair. It was an embedded one in Germany. And they come up to the... Is Daniel here? I'm like, no.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Like, where's Daniel? So he's busy with Wave. Like, you're Mike, right from the podcast. I had a couple people take a selfie with me.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. You give them a shout out.
Yeah.
They're probably listening.
Well, I hope they are. Hey.
Talking about.
Appreciate you guys. You made me feel really cool.
Okay. That's all. We should wrap up. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for being on the show today.
No problem.
We will see you next time for episode 29. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it's definitely going to be a good one.
Cheers.